And I think the beauty of manhood that was displayed here, it leads the heart. It's really the perfect, pure meal offering. The way the Lord Jesus, he showed to God what man ought to be. And he showed to man what God is all about. But in that perfect footsteps here on earth as we trace him, this, the beauty that shines about his footsteps here as he walked as a man, in comparison with every man claimed and demanded his rights. He did not. Every man wanted to do his own will. He did not. Every man was seeking his own. He did not. His own things. He did not. He always thought of what's it to other. He was completely unique in every step of the way. He could speak with authority, but also he speak the gracious word that proceeded out of his mouth. He will do good on every hand. Yet he could be able to make a rope of those cords and chase those who are in the temple, selling and buying and turning the house of God into dens of thieves. Grace and truth completely subsist in him and displayed itself in that perfection of manhood. The beauty of his manhood, this is a perfect blueprint, the perfect pattern that God is setting before us for us to follow.
So here's a question. To whom did he become a servant? To God or to man?
Well, it would be safe to say, if we follow the trend of the scripture, he became a minister for both. I just want to... Why the likeness of men? I mean, he could come as a man without sin. But the word is using... The scripture is using a word that is used of man in the likeness of God. So I am not God, but I represent something of God. A representation. So in this case, the Lord Jesus was in the likeness of man. Yet we have heard that great thing is sin apart. He was the sinless one. But I just want to give another reason why he is in the likeness of man. Because we don't want to lose sight that the manhood of the Lord Jesus did not come on the way that you came into this world. Okay, this is why in the likeness of man. Because the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus, he came into manhood. Yes, the body was prepared and all these things. But when he was brought into manhood, he came through the seed of the woman.
Yes.
You and I, we don't come through the seed of the woman. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. That's why he came in the likeness of man. But his way of being ushered into manhood came in a very different way than you and I are familiar with. And that's why his birth was miraculous. Because the way God wanted to introduce his son in incarnation, likeness of man, was totally different than yours and mine.
So then that's why also you get the matter of the fashion. Because if he comes in the likeness of man, so as to bring some evidence of that manhood character which came through the seed of the woman, as opposed to you saying we come through the seed of the man, yet he takes on the fashion of a man. He's found in fashion as a man, which says that there is a unique feature, physical feature of manhood that he exhibits that expresses the same that you and I are, a man. He comes through in that fashion, having those physical features.
Amen. I was wondering if I can open it up this way.
Mm-hmm.
And we say it in a couple of words. What's that fashion of a man? It's like a fashion.
Mm-hmm.
A fashion. We're all familiar with the word fashion. But in which way? So he came in the likeness of man, but he was found in the fashion as a man. The fashion as a man, the Lord Jesus took upon himself a spirit, a soul, and a body.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the same way, although he was in the likeness of man, but as a man, he took upon himself a spirit, soul, and body. And what makes a man is spirit, soul, and body. So his entrance in incarnation was different than you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as a fashion, he took himself absolutely spirit, soul, and body. And that's why when the Lord Jesus even suffered, if we ever thought of his suffering, he suffered in these three aspects as well.
Yeah. And that's why I termed it the physical features of a man. Yeah.
But again, not only just a matter that his humanity was real in regard to the matter of soul, body, and spirit, because that's very important, because some thought he was just a spirit that walked through that scene and everything. No, he was a real man. And even the feature of man was displayed in it. He was hungry.
Yes.
He was thirsty. He was tired. He went to sleep.
Yes.
So those features that characterize man was displayed in him. So not only that he was a real man as far as body, soul, and spirit, but even the characteristic of man was displayed in his life.
Without sin.
Of course, that is just to underline, as Mark have said, sin apart.
Add on to this that this is a critical truth that has been attacked and from the very beginning. And we cannot fully understand this. He was truly God and truly man at the same time. And this is something that, I mean, people have grasped for ages, but that's something that we hold on to. He was truly God and truly man all at the same time.
And they always either attack his deity or his humanity.
Yes.
They either tell you he's not God or less than God or this or that, or he was not a real man. And the scripture tells us he's real God and he's real man.
All in answer to...
Excuse me, I have a question in regard to the manhood of Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, and Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. I think you already got it. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So the word comes, they are tempted, and I just want to focus... Let's focus on the word tempted. Also verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Could brethren little explain this thing, because many times we have encountered in the past some teachers or some preachers that they believe that there was sin in Lord Jesus. He was capable of sinning. So we did not know in the depth of scripture of the things, but we said we are done with you. So we could not go hand in hand with them.